Jason Big Joe here on this Thursday, and every Thursday at 9:30, we talk to ESPN's Greg Wyshynski, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. The All-Star break has come and gone. The Predators back in action on Saturday. Greg, good morning. How are you?
A little under the weather. I think I'm rocking a post-All-Star game head cold, which is probably the byproduct of being in very, very small bars and also a fan fest that was as packed as I've ever seen a fan fest before. Like, people have been making the argument that Toronto should host the All-Star game every year, and I used to think that's a bad idea. But given how excited that city was and given how excited the players were to be a part of it in Toronto, there was some evidence that maybe we should just do that. It was a really good time.
Yeah, well, it looked like it was a good time, and watching all the festivities and everything, thought, you know, Justin Bieber and Philip Forsberg becoming best friends, that was good. So it looked like you all had a good time. But some different things came out of that, and I'll start with the obvious. Finally, the NHL players going back to the Olympics. I know that this is something that everybody wanted.
It really is. And, you know, I talked to NHLPA boss Marty Walsh recently, and I asked him, you know, you got the job last year when you went around to all these teams. What was the number one topic from the players? And he said, without hesitation, international play. So I give the players' union a lot of credit. I mean, not only did they get the Olympics in the last collective bargaining agreement, but they also were really aggressive in getting everybody to the table and figuring out a way to get this thing closed. And, you know, the NHL, for those who are a little bit nervous about them backing out of this, like they have backed out of previous Olympics, I think the difference is that the Olympics is now part of a larger international schedule. You know, if you're doing a World Cup every 2 years, the Olympics every 2 years, then at least you are getting a thing on the calendar that the NHL can make money at, because they obviously don't make any money from the IOC. So I'm confident that we're going, and I'm confident that we'll maybe keep going now that the NHL has established this this international schedule that they laid out over the weekend.
Some other things that came out of, you know, Gary Bettman's kind of state of the league and all those things, that the E word, the expansion word, was brought up. Do you feel like that it is going to happen again, or is this just something that's going to come up every few years and we're going to talk about it, and, you know, cities that don't currently have teams are going to be brought up, maybe similar to what's been happening in baseball?
With the amount of money that's on the table right now for buying an NHL expansion franchise, I definitely think it's going to happen again. I mean, you're talking over $1 billion in expansion fees if you want a team, which is why, you know, you can't have the expansion conversation without talking about the Coyotes and their plight. And the latest is that, you know, they're going to try to bid on this parcel of land. That process could play out for 10 weeks. You know, everybody's wondering if they're going to move this place like Salt Lake City. I happen to think that there are other local ownership possibilities to keep the team in Phoenix. And I know the NHL wants to keep them there because it's a huge television market. But I also wonder, like, what the appetite is for the NHL's owners to take that $1 billion expansion fee off the table when it comes to Salt Lake City. I mean, I'm not sure if they want to. I think the owner of the Jazz wants an expansion team, which means he knows how much an expansion team costs. And I wonder ultimately, you know, they moved the Atlanta to Winnipeg because Winnipeg was never going to pony up for an expansion fee, right? So I think Salt Lake is an expansion city. I'm not sure if it's a relocation city, and I think that's kind of playing into the way things are playing out in Phoenix right now too.
Here's my follow-up, though, on the Coyotes. I mean, this has been going on for over 10 years, basically, you know, this trying to keep it there. And at what point, though, does the NHL have to say, look, we've done everything we could, we got to move on?
I think that happens when they feel like they have done everything they could. And I think the issue right now for the NHL is, have they just gone down the road too far with this particular owner that's the thing that needs to change? You know, I've talked to some people in Arizona. There's a perception that there are other local ownership groups that could step up to buy the team. There's a perception that the Phoenix Suns owner, Matashiba, is kind of like lurking in the background, desirous to own both the Suns and the Coyotes to get a new arena at some point. So I only think we get to that point of like, we've done this dance for too long when there's no more dance partners left. And I think the real conundrum for the NHL right now is like, if you did feel that you needed to get the team out of the hands of Alex Morello, how do you do that without a very contentious legal situation and trying to wrestle the team from him? It's one of the things that's definitely on the table down there, and I'm fascinated to see how it plays out, because if there's one thing we've learned about the Coyote situation, it's to expect the unexpected. I don't think any of us thought that there was going to be an option for them to play in a college hockey arena for 4 years, right, when things were going sour, and yet here we are.
ESPN's Greg Wyshynski talking some hockey with us here on the Chasing Big Joe show.
Hey, Greg, I've got a great trait. When somebody asks me a question that I don't know and I know very little on the subject, I'll repeat the question back to them. So people are asking me about, hey, you think the Preds will trade UC Saros? I'm like, well, do you think the Preds will trade UC Saros? What do you think? I mean, there's a lot of chatter out there, Greg, and this could be something for the city of Nashville, especially for Preds fans who love this guy.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day because I was thinking about how many times the media outside of Nashville tried to fantasy cast a Pekka Rene trade when things looked like they were changing for Nashville. And all the time it was kind of like there was always that line of succession, you know, like Saros was coming up. They wanted to keep Rene around to solidify the position and then to help Saros, you know, up through the ranks. And I could see the same situation with him and Askarov. I mean, I think we all know that Askarov's going to be the goalie of the future there. But, you know, unless somebody absolutely blows them away with a deal they just can't say no to, I could see Saros sticking around for a bit in Nashville.
Oh, nice. Hey, we had a question earlier. We're talking about a celebrity or athlete that you can't stand, that if they gave you a great shout-out, how would you react? And we had some people call in and say Sean Avery, Corey Perry, about, you know, this could not
– Ryan Kesler.
Ryan Kesler. Who, have you ever had a contentious interview, Greg, with anybody? I'm sure you have, but anything just come that stands out above anything else?
I mean, so I've got, like, a long-standing beef with Jeremy Roenick. he wrote the foreword to my book. And I swear to God, like, I don't know if AI was available back then, but it definitely feels like AI wrote the foreword to my book rather than Jeremy Roenick. I've interviewed him before. He spent the entirety of the interview on his phone playing some sort of, like, app game. He had beef with me during the whole thing of me helping to get John Scott in the All-Star game. Just, like, the epitome of never meet your heroes. Because I loved Roenick back as a fan. But, I mean, like, just have absolutely no time for him in his current post-playing days incarnation.
Wow, that's a good one. And I don't think you're the only one on that, for sure. Greg Wyshynski is here with us. So, the Saros question keeps coming up for sure, but when you look at the Predators as a whole, I mean, we've talked about it with you, that you had them making the playoffs. They still are very much in the hunt, but I would put them, you know, on the fringe right now. At what point do you think that Barry Trotz and other teams that are right there on the fringe have to make that decision, okay, maybe it's not this year, let's go ahead and sell off and get some draft capital that we can use moving forward, because the Preds have quite a few unrestricted free agents to work with?
Yeah, I think Barry knows when that date is, and I'm sure it's probably fairly close to the deadline. But I also think Barry knows that for a young team – to get a chance to earn more playoff experience, even if it's in a kind of a cameo appearance in the playoffs because you're just there to get whacked by Colorado or Winnipeg or Vancouver, is invaluable to a good young team. And so I do wonder if, you know, I don't expect expect to see him buying expiring contracts at the deadline, but I do think he's going to stick with this for a while, in the hopes that they can maybe get on a little bit of a roll, really make things interesting at the wild card. Because, you know, the fact that the LA Kings have come back to the pack has really changed the math, as one GM put it for me, at the bubble in the West. Because it used to be like four or five teams angling for one spot. If the Kings keep plummeting and not turning this thing around with a new head coach, it could be four or five teams for two spots, and that's a big difference.
Yeah, and by the way, I just want to brag on myself for a second. I told people, when the All-Star break started, hey, get your bets ready. Hammer the Vegas Golden Knights against Edmonton. And I was just glad to be right about that.
Well, like, the thing about that I find fascinating is, like, outside of losing to Calgary, who's their blood rival, I got to imagine there's no other team Edmonton wanted to drop that streak to than Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, Vegas is starting to creep into their heads a little bit that every time they play an important game against the Golden Knights find a way to win, you know, whether it's the playoffs or in a game that felt like a playoff game the other night. So, you know, the streak was awesome. It definitely elevated the Oilers back to being a contender and showed what they're able to do. But, I mean, that's the last team you want to drop a game to in that kind of situation, because it almost builds up the case of, can we really beat these guys in the playoffs? Oh, and by the way, we're probably playing them in the first round.
Yeah, exactly. Greg, great stuff as always. Feel better, and we'll talk to you next week.
Anytime. Thanks, boys.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joining us here on the program as he does every Thursday at 9:30, presented by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Coming up next, speaking of something else that I was right about, I want to brag. Victory lap, if you will.
Sure, I got you.
Because there was some pretty significant news out of college football yesterday. Mm-hmm. We'll discuss that next. Chase and Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.